I'm not sure if you've ever had this experience, but sometimes I read a passage in the Bible and I think, what is that doing in there? Sometimes it's a particularly violent story. Sometimes it's one of Jesus's more challenging parables or a somewhat troubling portion of a letter from Paul. But the passage just doesn't seem to make sense or fit with the overall message of Scripture, and so I'm not sure what to do with it. So if I'm being honest, I might just skip on over it until I find a passage that I like better. If I'm up for it, I might look to scholars and theologians and see what they have to say. Or apparently I might try and preach on it, which is what I've decided to do today. Because this is one of those passages for me. Because there's the fire and the talk of division rather than peace. Jesus calls the crowd hypocrites, which just feels kind of mean. These verses just don't seem to reflect the Jesus that we're probably most familiar with. And they have certainly been used to condemn, to instill fear of impending judgment and destruction. But when we stop, when we dig into this passage, and we don't just skip over it or dismiss it, we can find the good news we know to be the heart of Jesus's message and ministry. So let's start with the fire. This first verse might bring up images of devastation, of judgment, but this isn't always what fire means in the Bible. Our first passage from Jeremiah talks about the power of God's word like fire and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces. The burning bush in Exodus showed God's presence to Moses. John the Baptist preached that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So one scholar notes that the fire Jesus wants to kindle in this passage is not a fire of condemnation, but a fire of change, the fire of God's active presence in the world. Jesus was deeply committed to God's will, to God's dream for the world, to the building of God's kingdom on earth. But this would only come from the radical transformation of the world, as it was and as it is. Jesus didn't come to validate and uphold our social structures and the status quo. He came to turn it all upside down, to preach God's word that is like fire, to transform the world of injustice and corruption and violence into one of justice and peace. But then that brings us to the division, because verse 51 is also pretty tricky. Jesus is the one we call the Prince of Peace, and yet here he is saying that he didn't come to bring peace to the earth, but rather division. And that feels a little confusing at first glance. What's the Prince of Peace doing creating division? But then I think about the protesters in Ferguson, Missouri, 5 years ago. They took to the streets after Michael Brown, a young black man, was shot and killed by a white police officer. The incident ignited protests in Ferguson and across the country and helped to bring the conversation around police brutality and racism in this country to national attention. One of the things I remember in watching the events unfold in Ferguson, and that we've seen repeated again and again, was the powerful chant of the protesters, "No justice, no peace." And of course, this holds two meanings. N-O, no justice, no peace. And then K-N-O-W, no justice, no peace. So without justice, there will be no peace. And this chant demonstrates that we will only know and experience true peace when we know justice. It wasn't then, and it isn't now, a cry advocating for violence. Rather, it acknowledges that simply the absence of violence doesn't mean that there's real peace. Peace only comes with the messy work of peace building and justice seeking. It only comes with telling the truth, with dismantling unjust structures, with the transformative power of God to effect real change. So perhaps we can understand how that might lead to divisions in families, or at the very least, an uncomfortable get-together during the holidays. We can also see how it occurs in our society as a whole. It's division that comes with change in the midst of pursuing true peace and true justice, in pursuing a new wholeness and unity. Because it's part of the new thing that God's doing on earth, part of our hope, part of the good news. Not that things will stay the same, but that things will be radically different because of how God is at work in the world. So then, Jesus calls the people in the crowd hypocrites. He says that they know how to observe and interpret the weather, but they don't know how to interpret Jesus' words and ministry to understand what's happening all around them. They don't realize that their time was one that demanded repentance and turning back to God. It demanded that they hear Jesus' message of peace and justice and mercy and then act on it. It required that they pay attention to their time, to what's going on around them, and to respond according to that good news that Jesus proclaimed. So it makes me think of Beverly's sermon a few weeks ago about Mary and Martha and the importance of paying attention, and Ollie's sermon about asking and knowing what time it is. Because what was required of Jesus' earliest followers is what's required of us today, that we pay attention and recognize the significance of our time, and that we act accordingly. But I'll admit that this is not an easy charge, because there's a lot going on, not just in the world, but in our own congregation and our own lives. Our schedules are too full, the news often too overwhelming to fully take in and process. And everything's constantly changing, some of it good and positive, and some of it painful and challenging. From what's trending on Twitter to what demands our time and energy at home or work or school. Even just today and these past few weeks, we find ourselves in the midst of changing seasons and routines as students and teachers head back to school. And I feel like it's during these times especially, during the chaos and the busyness and when it's all too much, good or bad or maybe some of both, that's when we need to remember. That's when we need to pause and remember what always stays the same, which is God's love for us. It's the good news of the gospel that we find in challenging scripture passages and in our own lived experiences. The hope we find in this good news that we're called to live out. So we find a helpful reminder in our passage from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet during a period of exile. His book includes harsh judgment on the kings of Judah and the temple in Jerusalem because those in power abused the positions they held and failed to live up to their responsibilities to the people they served. He critiqued the royal prophets who lied and spread royal propaganda, only telling the king what he wanted to hear. He criticized the elites who believed they could do whatever they wanted and get away with it, because they believed that Yahweh was present in the temple and therefore present only for their benefit. So through Jeremiah, God reminds the people that God is not only a God near or far off. The Lord is imminent and transcendent, present in Judah and everywhere, as Lord of all the earth for all people. The Lord is the God of justice and peace, not of wealth or corruption or violence. This is the message that Jeremiah tries to convey to the people, to remind them of God's message to act with justice and righteousness. That's who God is and who God's people are called to be, and that is a good and important and hopeful reminder for us all. Because the book of Jeremiah also includes words of comfort and hope. With God, judgment is never the last word. God's word is not like straw, which is worthless and without substance. Rather, it's like wheat, durable and sustaining. God's word is like a hammer. It's like fire that is kindled to transform the earth, to bring about God's kingdom of justice and peace. And that's what we hope for, Because this is the good news. The gospel message that Jesus shared, the one of justice and forgiveness, of freedom and hope, of love and mercy, it's for us today as much as it was for those crowds who first followed him. Everything is constantly changing, but God is steadfast, and so is God's good news, which always remains the same. This is the gospel we believe in, but sometimes we need to be reminded of it. Otherwise, we might forget. We might get caught up in the constant change of the world and miss the transformation that God is enacting as part of God's unfailing love for the world. So we need to be reminded by being part of a community that doesn't only proclaim this good news in words, but strives to live it out in actions. And that takes us getting together to figure out what that looks like. Because we need to find ways to embody our hope. We need teachers who share it with us and show us what it looks like. We need the church, which sometimes experiences division, but is called together by Christ to be one body. We need the fire of God's active presence to be kindled, that we might pay attention and take part in that holy work. Amen.